Hey, good morning. Welcome to the coach's meeting. That's the coach. I'm Grant Cohn. Things are moving really quickly here. Let's do an early assessment of what the Niners have done in free agency so far, fully aware that they're going to do something today that changes the entire equation. But let's just pause time right now. 49, John Lynch, Kyle, you can't do anything for the next hour. No more moves. Or if you do them, text me, and then we can talk about them on the show. We're going to start off with coach's assessment of where the Niners, of what the Niners have done. They've, it's been a little messy. Not everything the Niners wanted to get done has gotten done, but they have brought in a bunch of new players. What do you think?
Well, it seems as though that they're handling the biggest issue of our team right now, which is kind of gone from the right side of our offensive line, which I feel like that's 100% of what we were all locked in on. And quickly it's gone to the defensive line. And to be honest, it should have been there all along. With the re-signing of Colton McKivitz and, just where the offense stands, which we'll touch on later. But I feel as though that losing Arik Armstead kind of woke everybody up to what was already there already. And that is that before we lost Arik Armstead, we only had about three interior defensive linemen under contract at the time. So what they've done is, quite frankly, what they should have did last offseason, in my opinion. But I do like the moves. I feel like they went after different types of defensive linemen for different types of depth. So Malik Collins is a solid guy out of Houston. He's a penetrating three technique defensive tackle. He predicates himself on getting penetration and getting after the quarterback. He's a pass rushing defensive tackle. He's not necessarily somebody that you're going to lean on wholeheartedly as a run stopper, but he can do it. And I like that move. Somebody to spell Javon Hargraves. Also, if you look at the defensive end that they picked up, Yeturo Gross-Matos, second round pick from Carolina, looked at as one of the most improved guys on their team, but a little less to be desired as a second round pick. But however, at his size, he is a pass rusher, somebody else who we need to fill in and to be able to consistently keep pressure in ways, because the strongest part of our team is our defensive line. And then to top it off, we've also had the biggest signings, in my opinion, are Leonard Floyd and Jordan Elliott. Jordan Elliott is a real get. He's a starter for Cleveland. He is a every down player. He's not necessarily something that you will want to put in place of Arik Armstead, but of all of the three guys that I've just named just now, he is somebody that you could play and see him play multiple snaps. And he's somebody who emerged himself on a very good defense in Cleveland. So I really like the Jordan Elliott pickup. I think that he's going to be nasty against the run inside. And then to top it off defensively, we all know Leonard Floyd. I think Leonard Floyd is a solid get, not necessarily just because of the price tag, but because of his consistency. And that's something that we just haven't had on the other side of Nick Bosa. Not so much as having a guy that can be able to do it all on the field, stop the run adequately, but be a very good high-level pass rusher, but to do it at a consistent level. We haven't had it. I mean, we tried to get it from D Ford, and I feel like it's just been a house of mirrors ever since. So with those four pickups on the defensive line, I understand what they're doing with their depth. Quite frankly, it's a year too late. We could have saved ourselves a Javon Hargraves contract and just kept the guys we had, really fixed our depth, and I feel like we're doing it now. So as far as the D-line is concerned, I like the direction that they're going. And styles make fights. You can't buy what you don't have, right? And we don't have a lot of money. We just don't. So for the price tags, I like what they've done.
Okay, me too. What's interesting about the way they've reconfigured their defensive line, Brandon Staley's here, and he's not a wide nine guy, but it seems like picking a lot of the players. I'm just assuming. Mm-hmm. And we were talking all offseason and like during the playoffs too, like, do you have to run the wide nine all the time? Is it really an advantage all the time? Is there like another front you could go to when you're getting gashed in the run game? And I don't know. I mean, Jordan Elliott's a starter. Malik Collins is a starter. They're both getting paid significant money. Mm-hmm. Leonard Floyd isn't really a defensive end. He's more of like an outside linebacker.
True. It's
I mean, it seems like they're getting personnel that fit the wide nine, but also fit more of like a five-man Vic Fangio type front, which I think, I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm reading too much into this, but it seems like if they want to do that, they have the coach who can install it and some players who can fit it. Like, they could have a front where you have Hargrave, Elliott in the middle, and Collins with Bosa and Floyd on the outside. A five-man front, that's pretty good.
I don't trust Nick Bosa standing up. That's something that is that would be a well, I just don't. I think that he Alden is Smith a did it. Huh?
Alden Smith did it.
Nick Bosa ain't Alden Smith.
Talk about it.
I'm sorry. He ain't Alden Smith was God gifted. They are not on the same level, in my opinion. But okay. With Nick Bosa, I feel like he's very much a curated pass rusher and player. I don't necessarily see him being able to hold down the whole skill set from standing 3 yards off the line of scrimmage and in a stand-up position. It gets funky out there when you got to stand up. And
you can make him a rotational pass rusher in your nickel, and you can have someone else start in place of him.
Not for $34 million a year.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Like I feel like putting him –
Take him off the field then.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't see it.
All right. Well, it'll be interesting. I feel like he could do it. Does he want to learn how to do it? I mean, you don't want him dropping into coverage. That's something that those outside linebackers. Okay, let me talk about what's kind of weird about this free agency, though. We just said all the things we like about it. Mm-hmm. It seemed like a couple of things that were high up on the Niners' to-do list this offseason, too. Get Eric Armstead to take a pay cut and sign Eric Kendricks. Neither one really happened. Maybe the Niners' plan was to go to Eric Armstead, piss him off, get him to request a release, and then release him. They could have just released him, though. I get the feeling they thought Armstead would work with them on this one. And Armstead said, screw you. I'm out. Thank you for all, you know, the years of paychecks. And then Eric Kendricks, that came out of left field. That was their solution to replace Dre Greenlaw for however long it took. The guy's a captain. He's been around a long time, and then he's gone. And now the Niners are kind of in scramble mode. Like, why do you think the Niners are hearing no? This is the Super Bowl team.
Well, I feel like the Niners have golden handcuffs, man. We have a lot of rich contracts with not just good players, but vested players in the culture and in the locker room. And I feel like it's not an inclusive environment. If you come here, you basically have to toe the line to what's already happening here. And for players that are on the come up, players that need the money, that's something, or players who have never been there before, you know, that's something they can get behind, right? Because you're almost kind of like punching up. But for people who have like careers and things to lose already coming in, and just the fallout for how things happen with our organization when we lose, you know, some people are looking at this situation and say, well, you know, I'm going to have to be forced to play a certain way. I'm going to have to be forced to coach a certain way. And the culture here is already entrenched and it's tribal. So, you know, there's really no checks and balances on if I'm actually being like transitioned correctly into the culture. So, you know, you can get cannibalized here. Right. And really, to the victor goes the spoils, as far as like the writers of history, like it'll be whatever the Niners say happened to you if it doesn't work out. And a lot of people aren't willing to take that professional risk from a playing perspective and a coaching perspective. So I tell you right now, like Brandon Staley, he's got no choice. This is the best career opportunity for him. That's why he's taking this job. Right. Yeah. He's not taking this job because he truly assessed the situation with the Niners and said, you know what, I'm going to turn down XYZ to pick A. No. Kyle came calling and he was an idiot. He'd be an idiot not to take this gig. Right.
Yeah. He threw him a life raft.
Yeah, this is definitely a life raft for him. His career was on life support. So right now, you have to ask yourself, what are the Niners going to do with their own SOP? Because right now, I feel like all they have right now is their culture to push to get people in their building because they don't have the money. So you're starting to see people take a look at our organization and say, if for the money, no thanks. You know what I'm saying? For what I have to put up with. Versus when you got a bag, you know, people will say, you know, I'll play ball. You know, I'll get paid.
With Kendricks, I get it. I mean, I think probably the pitch is, hey, come start for us until Dre Greenlaw gets back. And we don't know when that's going to be. And it could be week one. And maybe that's kind of scary. I mean, I think they were also trying to talk to Rayshon Jenkins. And probably the pitch is, hey, come start for us until Tano Hufanga comes back. And we don't know when that is. And it could be week one. So mm-hmm. I understand the Niners getting turned down by those guys. But the Armstead one is interesting because Armstead's a captain. Armstead's the longest tenured player. I doubt they were trying to cut his salary too much. Like, they haggled with Juszczyk for a week and brought his salary down. Not even $2 million.
Not even $2 million.
So this may have been more like the principle of the thing. Like, Armstead, we need you to do this for us. It's not that much. I get the feeling they thought he would. And I get the feeling they were kind of surprised when he didn't. And my question is, like, is that a vote of no confidence in the culture, in the team, in this Super Bowl run? Or is Armstead just standing on business and saying, I'm not taking a penny less than I'm worth for anyone?
Well, you would have to ask yourself, where does Kyle stand in all of this as far as, like, the process to even get to the fact that your longest tenured player and one of your staunchest leaders on your team just walks out the door so quick? It seemed, like, really unceremonious.
He was in line to be a guy that would be, like, you know, in the Niners Hall of Fame, like one of their longest, a 10-year player, all this stuff. And he just, like, you know what? I'm out.
Yeah. It seems like it's really, like, anticlimactic. Like, it's like, what? Why is this so quick and so absolute? And how quick did we get to this decision and who was involved? You know, you would think that there would at least be some type of back and forth before we got here. And to see, like you said, to see what Juice only got, like, one in change. That was a haircut. That wasn't a pay cut. Like, it wasn't a lot at all compared to what he's still the highest paid fullback in the league. You know what I mean? Like, they asked him to go from one to a lesser one. Right. So, I don't know, Eric, his comments after the game didn't seem to be, like, congratulatory of the coaching staff. He seemed very frustrated. And you got to look at it from his perspective. There had to be some snag or some fly in the ointment, to be honest with you, because to be real with you, he deserved a pay cut. You don't play all season. Okay. Mm-hmm. You have degenerative injuries, not like injuries that you can fix and you'll be better. True. Plantar fasciitis is a degenerative injury, right? So,
And the Niners must have thought they had a good enough relationship with Armstead to approach him and be like, look, man, you know what it is. Like, let's be honest. You're not the player you used to be. We can't count on you to play these entire seasons. Like, work with us a little bit. Juszczyk's going to. And he was just flatly said no. Or maybe they negotiate for a little bit, and he eventually said, I don't want to do this. I'd rather leave. I mean, I think the Niners, why did they think they could get it done with him? They have a relationship, but also they have this Super Bowl window. And the idea that Armstead would leave to go play somewhere else and maybe not win a Super Bowl, that's what's interesting to me. Is, like, maybe from Armstead's perspective, you know what? That was the window. We had the team. We lost because you, Kyle, and I might have a better chance somewhere else making more money. I could go to Detroit and make more money and have a better chance because that guy goes for it on fourth down and doesn't ask the defense to win the game all the time. I don't know. I'm speaking for Armstead here, but it seems like the Niners always have this, think they have this ace up their sleeve. Like, well, you want to win a Super Bowl. You want to win a Super Bowl. I mean, it might be worth sacrificing a couple million dollars. Maybe not anymore.
No. You know, and for Eric, I'd be in a position where if he knew, all right, so he's going to be a free agent next year anyway, right? And they're trying to bulk on his value. So let's look at it from his perspective. All right, I'm coming up on my last big bag, right? This is pretty much my last big contract in my career. Yeah. And you guys are trying to lower my value across the league. So if I take this pay cut, then this is what's going to shoot across the marketplace for my value. Right. And I'm going to be coming up into my last year. So I'm not going to do this. This is a critical year for me. And the last thing I want to do is come off my market value in my contract year, the last phase of my career. So, I mean, I could see Eric probably pretty much going to the Niners and saying like, hey, and then on top of it, they extended him in the beginning of the year.
Restructured.
So it's like, yeah, they restructured me. So it's like, that's dirty pool. You restructure me just to tell me I need to take a pay cut?
Yeah, like, you knew what you were doing. You knew what you were getting yourself into when you restructured.
Yes, yeah, you restructured me at the beginning of the year.
And you did so by creating less cap space in 2024. Parag could do the math. Jed can do the math. You knew what you were doing. And then you come into this year and be like, hey, we're in a tough spot. We're in a really tough spot. Could you help us out? No. Plan for this. It's your job.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you this. I see the player angle and I do see the organization's angle. I see the player angle from saying like, look, you guys have been kicking the can with my contract and this cap situation. And you restructured me. Now you want to ask me to take a pay cut right before I'm about to get on the open market. And I'm going to be over 30 years old with degenerative injuries. No, I'm not putting that on my jacket coming out into the market. On top of the fact, the 49ers are probably saying like, dude, first of all, we paid you. All right. Not only did we pay you, but we put equity in you. We chose you and got you paid over DeForest Buckner. All right. So we already put our money where our mouth is and getting you paid. I'm going to organizations level. That's their side. All right. And they could say, on top of it, you got degenerative injuries and we know we cannot count on you for a full season, let alone a full playoff campaign. So, bruh, you got to come up off of some of this. And you're a leader. So where's the leadership?
Yep. I just feel like the Niners kind of expect ring chasers to sort of jump on their team for a discount. And they're not getting that. They're not getting that treatment anymore. Eric Kendricks was like, oh, I'll just go to the Cowboys. Oh, you beat the Cowboys last year? They pay me more money. I mean, you didn't win the Super Bowl either. So what's the difference? So that's kind of interesting to me. Let's move on. One thing that's real interesting to me about this offseason, the offense ranked third in points scored. The defense ranked third in fewest points allowed. Like statistically, they were pretty much on par. And the defense is the thing that's being, I don't know if overhauled is the right word, but the players who are free agents got to go. Mm-hmm. Not good enough. Sorry, we have high. The Niners talk about their standard of play. I think it's pretty clear this offseason that they have different standards for offense and defense, and that the standards for defense are significantly higher than the standards for the offense, which is interesting considering the coach is Kyle Shanahan.
Right. I agree with you. I do think that when we talk about the offense, we look at the offense with a glass half full perspective, where whatever they do is to the good of Kyle Shanahan's greatness, his attributes, and the players that we have on offense. But it's clear when we lose, even if it takes the offense to have a serious blunder, like we need like a Ravens game where there are multiple picks from the offense. And even then, people will still lean on the yards gained, not the out-coaching, the turnovers. There's not, in every loss that we've had, there's only one time where we broke 20 points and it took overtime to do it. And that was the Super Bowl. The offense just is held to a different standard. They're not leaned on in the most critical parts of our games. And, you know, even with the strongest parts of our offense, they're not even used when we have the ball. You know, third and four, that's not two down territory for us with the number one rusher in the league. That's five wide. It's time for us to start looking for a short pass to get the ball out from Brock Purdy. I just feel as though that the money, how they draft from the owner's own mouth, this is a defensively led team. When there's responsibility to be doled out, it is on the defense. 100%.
I don't like that. It's a team. It should be 50-50. It's great to have a great defense, but you're an offensive team as well, and you have a good – here's what kills me. Look at all the things they've done to the defensive line. Four new players on the defensive line. Just a real revamp of that. Great, fine. And you've gotten cost-effective players. Like, you didn't even break the bank for anyone, but Jordan Yetur Gross-Matos gonna be a backup making $9 million a year? He's making more money than everyone on the Niners offensive line except for Trent Williams. That's how seriously they take the defensive line. The backup defensive end makes money. Jordan Elliott makes more money than everyone on the Niners offensive line except for Trent Williams. So, like, I like the Niners offensive linemen, and I know they watch sometimes. I'm not trying to make this personal. Like, this is about the organization's investment in the position.
Yeah, it's not about the players.
It's not about you. You guys aren't underperforming. They would never have the Colton McQuivitt. The 49ers would never have the Colton McKivitz equivalent starting on the defensive line. They would never have the Spencer Burford equivalent starting on the defensive line. They would never have the Aaron Banks. It would never happen. And it's fine. You have super high standards for the defensive line. Like, why? Why not the offensive line? It seems like they're both really important equally. I might even lean towards the offensive line, but they're both super duper important, but not in the Niners' eyes. That's crazy to me.
Well, I feel like offensively, our you have to follow the money. Our money is in our skill guys. It's in our receiver room. It's in our backfield. And really, I feel like before we did have some money into the offensive line, but what really shifted things is picking up Christian. I mean, Christian is a big swath of money that takes a lot. Yeah. That takes a lot out of our offense. And fiscally, you have to build the offense that way. My only thing is that I just wish they would prioritize it from a developmental standpoint. Like, you can draft it. You can draft it. You know, we can go get guys. And this year, I know people talk in hyperbole, right? And that this is the best ever, and this is the greatest ever. No, this is literally the deepest offensive line draft in like 15 years, man. There has not been a draft with this much talent across the board from tackle to tackle. And for us, I'm holding pat to see what they're going to do in the draft, because you can find good developmental talent in the way the Niners draft O-line. If they did that this year, they could find some stuff, because there's just that much talent in this year's draft. So from fourth, they can still find guys in fourth round, third round. They can find guys. So I'm reserving judgment to see what they're going to do.
That's fair. Yeah. Let me slow down over here. I get excited. The whole title of the show is an early assessment of the first wave of free agency. They're probably not going to sign many offensive linemen, but the thought process could be, we like the offensive lineman in the draft. We don't like the defensive lineman in the draft. Let's sign the defensive lineman and draft the offensive lineman. So maybe John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan are watching today being like, Grant, shut up. You don't get it. Look at our draft board. What do you think we're going to do in round one and round two? Like, you don't get it. Possible. But yeah. And I think they should. I think they really need to at this point, because it's looking like you have completely different standards for the two sides of the line, which is crazy.
Yeah, and truthfully, like, the way I'm seeing it is they could still go D-line in round one and I would still be satisfied. There's that much good talent in the offensive line. Listen, dude, we've been here
in the draft is what you're saying.
Yes.
You could get a starting guard in round two.
Yeah. You could Christian Haynes. Haynes, in my opinion, is the best guard in the draft. They got him slotted like 54. You know what I'm saying? 60. He's the best guard in the draft. And he plays right guard, perfect for wide zone. Guard out of UConn, motor, strong hands. So, you know, for me, I know we want to be able, like, I've been on like this whole Amarius Mims train the entire offseason. It's a pipe dream. We're not getting that kid. We're not going up to go get. I would be shocked if we went up there and got that type of kid with how the cap is, with how the cap looks, and with how we've been acquiring players throughout offseason. So I've resorted to the fact of understanding how they're moving and forecasting that out across the rest of the offseason as well as the draft. And there's enough depth for them to be frugal and really find worth.
Cool. All right, let's check in with our sponsor, BetUS, and see what they think Christian McCaffrey is going to do this year. And let's put our money where our mouth is. Let's make some wagers. Christian McCaffrey, next season, over under 1,200 rushing yards, coach. What do you think?
Under.
Why?
Well, I think that this is going to be a more of a Brock year next year. Kyle's, he's going to feel really comfortable with Brock. I think this is a real good year for Brock coming up, as far as he's got a full off season. He's not hurt. He's got time to really focus on getting better. And I feel like Kyle is going to lean on Brock next year. I don't see it. And then with Christian getting a little older, I think that he's going to have a lot more all-purpose yards outside of 1,200 rushing yards.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like they overused Christian this past year, and I don't know if they were trying to make a point. They wanted to get him the Offensive Player of the Year award, but they really used him as much as they possibly could, and it didn't lead to a Super Bowl. So maybe they should dial it back and use him more like they did in 2022, where he was getting more like 67 yards a game as opposed to 90-plus. So yeah, Let's lock that in. About rushing TDs, 11.5. Last year he had 14. Year before he had 8.
Yeah, I'll say under.
Under.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Receiving yards, 500.5. Last year he had 564.
Over.
Year before that he had 741.
Over.
They might want to transition to throwing him a little bit more. And receiving touchdowns, over 5.5, under 5.5.
Over.
Last year he had 7. Over. So you're anticipating even money on the over. How about that? That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So you're anticipating fewer rushes, more catches for McCaffrey this year?
Yep. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Getting older. You know what I'm saying? They're going to start using him smarter. You know, he can't have all of those heavy rush days like he used to. And plus, they want – the biggest thing for Christian is availability. We lucked out by being able to have him available for so long throughout the entire season. So, yeah, I think Christian becoming more of a receiving threat is going to be something that we'll see more of next year.
All right, I'm putting down 40.
Hopefully,
35.
See other runners get the ball. We start seeing more running backs.
Yeah, all right. Well, that I just placed my lock my bet in for BetUS.
BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook and casino. Live betting and racebook. We're celebrating 30 years with a historic offer, a 125% sign-up bonus on your first 3 deposits, plus 10% gambler's insurance. Get started today. BetUS, where the game begins.
All right, back to football. Eric Kendricks was supposed to be the starter opposite Fred Warner this year, but he's going to play for the Cowboys, and now the Niners got to scramble and find another replacement for Dre Greenlaw. Before we start naming potential, I don't even really have names, but like, what's the skill set? I think that's kind of an interesting discussion. What exactly, because when they signed Eric Kendricks, I thought, good player, nothing like Dre Greenlaw, nothing at all like Dre Greenlaw, a lot more like Fred Warner. What are they looking for in this Greenlaw replacement?
A thumper. They want somebody that's going to come downhill, be able to read and react, play with blurred vision, and be able to take on double teams and attack. They need somebody that is going to be on the backside of Fred Warner, so Fred can cover the middle third, and Fred can cover the hook, the flat, and the curl, the flat, and the hook, the curl. Being another pass defender. And that's what Fred is good at, being more of a finesse linebacker, being able to play the leader of the defense. And they need somebody that's going to play downhill, be more physical, basically take more of the brunt of the running game, be very good in the flats and underneath coverage. And I don't think that Eric Kendricks fits that mold. He's more of Fred Warner, somebody that's going to play top down. He's not necessarily going to be playing downhill. And he's more of a finesse. He's more of a finesse linebacker. He's not a thumper, in my opinion.
Let me add to that a little bit. Because to me, yeah, you want a guy who can come downhill, because that's not Warner as much, but also a sideline to sideline guy, because Greenlaw is fast. And with Warner, it seems like when he has to chase a guy to the sideline, the tackles you see him make are like diving for ankles, usually. With Greenlaw, when he makes tackles at the sideline, it's always like, oh, is it a 15-yard penalty? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to be hard to fill that. I mean, I talked about Aziz coming here, but that was a pipe dream. There's no way. There's one guy. I mean, he's a little long in the tooth, but Levante David is still available. I mean, that would be somebody that could come in with at least leadership and knows how to get from sideline to sideline, like you said.
Gotta be fast.
Yeah, he's still got legs. He's still got legs. He's not as physical, but he's definitely somebody who could come in and fit right away and learn our defense and be a contributor early on. But I want to talk about this. What's going on with D Winners and Jalen Graham? You know, like my thing is that you drafted two guys for the position.
In the Trey Lance treatment. Yeah. Hey, we're going to red through you. We like you. Actually, you don't have enough experience to play for us. Sorry. You kind of need ID to get ID on this team. Sorry.
Yeah. My thing right now is there anybody in the draft right now that could come in and fill in that spot? No. So we're automatically looking at a downgrade for whatever we put in there at Dre. But I would like to see Jalen Graham. Jesse has been talking up Jalen Graham for the entire season practically. But it does look like something where they may Colton McKivitz it. They may do it. They may look us square in the face and say, Jalen Graham is going to be our starter at the linebacker position. And we're all going to sit there and say, what? And they're really going to do it.
I don't think they will. What they're more likely to do is just re-sign Oren Burks and Demetrius Flanagan Files. Be honest. You know it. That's what's going to happen here. And I think that's a problem.
You think so?
Yep.
Why?
Because they'll be cheap and no one else will want them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they were playing ahead of those guys last year. All of a sudden, the Niners magically think D Winners is better than Oren Burks. Then why wasn't he on the field? They don't.
Oren Burks. Hey, listen, man. I'm going to be nice, man. That's all I'm going to say. Come on, man. That's not
the extent to which he got exposed in the Super Bowl makes it like impossible for the Niners to bring him back. Like, how could you?
Look, man, Oren Burks was suboptimal.
That was the nicest thing.
This is the best. It's a work day, guys. You got corporate coach today. He was suboptimal.
All right, let's get into the super chats and get rid of corporate coach. Kenyon Gim says, with all of the moves made so far, who do you think the Niners draft at 31? I wouldn't be surprised if they take a linebacker, honestly.
I wouldn't be surprised if they take Ruka Rororo if he's available. They still like this is what I will say. For all of the depth that they got on the defensive line, they still don't have top-end talent. They still need to fill that one position. Like, you're not going to war with Jordan Elliott in that spot for Eric Armstead. You still need to get a guy, right? And really, they could have sold it with re-keeping Javon. But with Javon gone, they really need somebody to be on the opposite side of Javon Hargraves. So I wouldn't be surprised if they draft a three tech in the first round.
Sure.
They could also take
a DB.
What if they trade out?
They could definitely trade out. They could definitely trade out. Jesus. I don't know. I'm not going to say that. It says, finally over Super Bowl loss, can we get a Fernando? No, because you tried to trip me up, and I know what you wanted me to say. Matt McEwen says, most important players on the team, quarterback, blindside tackle, center, right tackle, guards. I mean, you could argue. Matt McEwen, cost-effective free agent, D-line, cheaper O-line in draft. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shouldn't we draft a really good right tackle that can slide to left tackle when Trent retires or if he gets injured? Why do we need so many picks?
Hold on. I mean, shouldn't we draft a really good right tackle that can slide to LT, then Trent retires, gets injured? Okay, so that's true. But we need a lot of picks because of the Trey Lance draft. The Trey Lance pick like really basically took 3 years of first-round picks away from us and draft capital. Like, we're older. We're not as young as we need to be. And I do like the pick, like, of – trading up to go get an Amarius Mims, knowing that he's going to play right tackle and we could push him to left. That'd be amazing. But quite frankly, I feel like we have more holes than that. We really do. Especially things are changing day by day, right? And this super chat would have been awesome 2 weeks ago, right? And we would have agreed with this, right? But Eric Armstead was still on the team 2 weeks ago. And I feel like things are flowing. it's a moving situation. And with Eric being gone, I feel like all draft boards have been completely blown out of the water now, because now we have a huge hole on our team.
Yeah. Just remember, Joe Staley was kind of a nobody offensive tackle from Central Michigan, did well at the combine, was a late first round pick, played right tackle and slid over to left tackle. So if the Niners feel like they could find their Joe Staley, don't hesitate. Mm-hmm. Don't hesitate. Nick Falcon, next year, I just want Kyle to give Brock more. Let him do his own protections. Give him the entire control of the offense. Brock is smart enough to be trusted. Not going to happen. Mm. Are you kidding? Well, Kyle Shanahan has video cameras in every room. He's going to trust someone?
Well, I will say this.
Trust?
I'll say this. Kyle doesn't have a choice. That's just not the way football's ran. It's either going to be one voice or no voice. And Brock, I really believe, and I'll say this. I've been saying, I thought Trey was going to do this. He just wasn't the kid I thought he was. Hmm. But Brock is a leader. And when he knows how to lead a team, he did it in Iowa State. And not only that, but the thing about Brock being a leader is that he was empowered to be a leader. He had a very selfless coach in Iowa State. Yeah. So he knows how to push a team. And I'm telling you, bro, this team, this fan base is in love with Brock Purdy. They will pick Brock over Kyle. And if Brock starts asserting himself, Kyle is going to have to bend the knee. He will.
Well, he's going to have to get paid first. He's not going to be asserting himself before he gets that contract.
Yeah, he's going to get paid. He's going to get paid, but you know he's going to get paid.
Well, you never know. But
if
yeah,
he pulls this same season as last year, you know it's a wrap.
Sure, but it's almost, I mean, again, Kyle is in the way. So you have to sort of like play ball with Kyle for at least one more year.
Respectful.
Kyle's calling plays.
Chestnut checkers. I got you.
Yeah, Kevin McEwen says, Joey restructured, staying with Chargers, yay. Daz says, gotta love the catch 22 on the Niners. Can't play because you don't have experience, but only get experience by playing. Mm. Nick Falcon, I know you guys will probably not believe me. However, my girlfriend's cousins played at Purdue and is boys with Jalen Graham. He was told to come into the camp to take a spot.
Okay. Well, he needs to take the spot. Because right now, there's nobody. We don't have any confidence that he's taking anything. And he already
Right now, he doesn't have competition. It's freaking his job. Let's see if they bring someone in. Yeah. Tracy Robinson, what about Jerome Baker? He's physical and fast.
No. I don't like Jerome Baker.
Matt McEwen says, Malik and Eric's numbers last 3 years equal. As pass rushers, for sure.
Yeah, as pass rushers. I don't think Malik – I think Malik Collins is going to be good, but I think we still need more of a run-stopping threat in the inside. Like, you forget that we were having problems stopping the run with Eric Armstead on the team, right? I feel like we need more, in my opinion. I could be wrong.
Give me one change the 49ers should make to their offense, considering they've made none.
They need to go get a tight end. I think it's time for them to get a second tight end. Somebody that can either push. I mean, competition, I'll say it. We need somebody that's going to push George Kittle. Somebody that's either going to be push George Kittle off the roster, or George Kittle is going to be the number two tight end. That's what we need. We need to go get a real viable option there. We've been trying for a while. Charlie Warner was good for what he was used for, but he was more of a blocking tight end instead of more of a pass receiving threat. In my opinion, I like the offense of how Kyle designs the offense schematically, with cut down splits, close formations inside the hashes. There's only a couple of things that you can do to stop that. But one thing that makes the offense deadly is, at the time, offensively, when we had Jordan Reed, we were really a nasty offense with having multiple tight end options to be able to pass the ball. It's something that I feel like Brock could be able to take advantage of. George is the first benefactor of Brock coming onto the team when he first came on back in 2 years ago with over 10 to 11 touchdowns. And I think it makes our offense a lot more multiple. We haven't had it. And I feel as though that if they prioritize the tight end room and actually hit, I don't think Cam Latu is the answer. In my opinion, just being nice. And I'm a Bama guy, just to be real. So I have no dog in this fight. But if it wasn't for the pick of where Cam Latu got drafted, he wouldn't have made this team last year. I don't think he'd have made this team. So they have to right that wrong because they officially whiffed on the position. They need to go get it.
I like it. I'm going to go a different direction, not necessarily a position, but like a philosophy. To me, since Kyle's been here, his whole thing has been optimizing the defense and the running game because he's working around his quarterback, which was legit. You had Jimmy Garoppolo and Brian Hoyer, but now you have Brock Purdy. And I don't think you should be working around your passing game anymore. I think you should be optimizing it. And I think, especially in free agency, you should really be spending your money on offensive players who directly impact the passing game. The running game is important, but I don't think that's where your cap dollars should be going. So, for example, you're saving money at right tackle and right guard, but you're sparing no expense at fullback. Fullback's an important position, but he helps your running game. He's blocking for run plays. He's not blocking for pass plays, and I think that's kind of backwards. I think the Niners have graduated beyond that. Obviously, they're not going to make that change now, but I'd like to see it. You know, if you can pass protect, you get money, you get paid. If you can beat man-to-man coverage, you're on this team because the quarterback's really good. And yeah, they want to run the ball still. They want to keep you honest, but they're not going to spend a lot of money on it, and they're not going to lead the league in rushing attempts, and they're not going to be dead last in passing attempts. I think those days should be over.
So you think that it's time for them to optimize their overall approach to how they who they are as an offense?
Yeah. I mean, yes, I think so. Yes.
All right. So what do you get rid of first? So, okay. So let's do it their way. I feel if we're doing it their way, just get pass blocking offensive linemen. Are we a run first team?
I don't think you need to be a run first team. I think you should be much more balanced. This team should not rank 32nd in pass attempts. It should be in the upper half of the league. You have a really good quarterback. And if you gave him time to throw and a couple more receivers who can beat man-to-man coverage, you could put up a lot of points every week. That's what I think. I mean, why not?
All right. So I have a question.
Like Debo, for example, he was great for Jimmy. He was great. Go ahead.
All right. You know, so I have a question. Yeah. I have a question for you. Who represents on this offense? Who would represent the old way? Who most represents the old way our offenses ran versus where do you see the future in our offense right now? So who represents the future of where you want to see this offense going?
Well, the old way is under center, a bunch of motion. That's you checking Debo.
Okay.
And a run play or a play action. But in the Super Bowl, it was empty backfield. We're passing.
Okay,
great. That's what you trust Brock that much and you like all your weapons that much? Great, man. We'll just get him more guys who can beat man-to-man coverage and get him more guys who can block. That's all you need.
Okay. So so who would you say most represents the future of where you want to see this offense go? That's on this team currently.
Brandon Ayuk.
Okay.
Brandon Ayuk. So, and I guess, I guess McCaffrey, because in the sense of what he can do as a receiver. Really, you need more guys like, and Juwan Jennings, I think it's no surprise that he stepped up in the Super Bowl. And I think you could argue that he was way underused last year. Mm-hmm. 19 catches for Juwan Jennings. He should be getting a few a game, not one.
So really, I feel like the crossroads of your premise is we'll know the Niners are ready to move forward with the future of their offense when they elevate Brandon Ayuk and Juwan Jennings, and they start maybe moving on from Debo Samuel and Kyle Juszczyk. I feel like those
maybe
are the
even three. McCaffrey too. Nothing against McCaffrey. He's really good. Mm-hmm. But if you have this quarterback and you're going to be paying him money, you don't need to spend. You don't need to have the highest paid running back or the second highest paid running back. It's a luxury and he's great, but you can also get production out of your running game for very cheap. It's been proven for decades, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see, because this team is, we're going in year 8 and nothing stays the same. So there's always going to be a transition period of how are we going to stay relevant, stay viable as a winning franchise, but also usher these guys out and quite frankly change. I mean, and if you don't think that we have to change in order to stay successful, then look at the Chiefs. They have changed entirely who they are. They have adapted. That's why they're good. It's not the fact that they have the best players, it's that they are the best at adapting. So
to me, like, would you rather have the best running back, the best fullback, and the best wide back, or a dominant right side of the offensive line?
Yeah, I'd rather have a dominant offensive line.
You know what I'm saying? If you had
that, so much you can do with a dominant offensive line.
So much you can do, and you can get a running back for cheap.
You don't need the best running back in the league
for cheap. You find those things, but they've had such a hard time finding a dominant right side of the offensive line. If you solidified that with Brock Purdy and Brandon Ayuk and Kittle and Juwan Jennings, come on.
Yeah, you don't need I feel like in a way we love the players that we have because they are very good, but you know, you don't need a Christian McCaffrey if you got a really good offensive line.
No.
That level of player.
Whoever your running back there is going to be killing it because he's going to have, you know, holes and all that. So imagine if this team could run right. Imagine if this team could go empty backfield and really give Brock Purdy time. How would they lose?
Yeah. So, and then you actually will be balanced. I mean, in some ways you would look at Kyle and say, well, you know, if you are, if you do want to operate your offense at a high efficient level, why wouldn't you want a good offensive line? Why would you put it all in a running back, a receiver? You know what I mean? Like, why?
If you really think that Brock's that much better than Jimmy, which we do, then change the offense, because this is still too much of the Jimmy offense to me. Working around your quarterback, trying to win with the running game. Like, who wins with the freaking running game in 2024? Who's the last team that won a Super Bowl that way? The Seahawks, maybe? Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Okay. A couple more super chats. Gotta love the catch 22 on the Niners is Dazza. Can't play because you don't have experience, but only get experience by playing. Oh, they've been doing that for a while.
Yeah.
Nick Falcon. Oh, I already got you. Sorry, I missed the other one. Percy Robinson. What about Jerome Baker? He's physical and fast. Got you. Matt McEwen, Malik, and Eric. Got you. Trade Debo post June 1st player swap. Last night on my show, Jesse suggested Debo for Isaiah Likely and maybe some picks after June 1. Ravens want Debo. You just said the Niners need a tight end. I like that.
I just saw a report that, you know, of course the Ravens are going to deny that the report was true. They have to. But
did they?
Yeah, they came out on Bleacher Report. But I love that. I love that. I love that idea. Getting a young player like Isaiah Likely, we already talked about why I want a second tight end, how much it would help our offense, right? And it would push George. It would be a really good acquisition, but it would free up so much money. Debo's about to make $28 million this year, bro. Like, that is way too rich. And in a way, I know you don't count your teammates' pockets. You don't. But you know what's going on the team. It's your business to know, right? Yeah. And it's like, if I'm Eric, I'm like, wait a minute. So I play on the defensive line. I played hurt in the whole nine. This guy never makes it through a whole season. He barely gets the ball. And when he does, that's the only time you see him. He's about to make almost $30 million.
Yeah. Like, and they don't have any problem with him. Yeah.
And you're not asking him to take a pay cut? Like, what is this?
I understand not asking Trent Williams, although he is 36 and he's making $28 million too. But everyone sort of acknowledges that Trent Williams is
making 32.
Okay. So, I mean, the Niners could have went to him and asked him to take a pay cut, but he's a future Hall of Famer, and I guess they don't want to mess up that relationship, and they were preferred going to Eric Armstead. What about Debo?
Yeah, I don't get it. I do not get that. I mean, it must be because he's Kyle's boy, man, because I don't get the production. And then for him to openly admit that his last season was a bad season, he was like, yo, I didn't do good this season. I did not have a good year. And then the Super Bowl to get strapped. It's like, bro, you gotta take a pay cut, bro. Like, I'm sorry.
He did everything. He said the right things. He did the right things. He came back in shape. It didn't make a big difference.
No, not at all. You know what I'm saying?
He's not a bad player, but he's just not worth what they're paying him. Dazza says, why not use Juice as a second tight end? He's not big enough. him as an H-back, kind of, but you can't put him on line of scrimmage like that. He's not big enough. Richie says, disagree with you, Coach. Kyle Shanahan will never need to bend a knee to anyone. He has Jed on his side. If the Niners make playoffs again, Kyle Shanahan could get extended.
That's true. I mean, they just extended him last year. What's another extension? Like, it is what it is.
Yeah, you got to make sure he's comfortable.
I was just talking about more of the dynamics of football, though. Like, we've been watching football all our life. Like, the coach don't get fired. I mean, the quarterback doesn't get fired. The coach does, right? Especially if the fan base believes in the quarterback, right? But to be honest, we don't know how that dynamic is here. Mm-hmm. You know, Kyle may just have convinced Jed that all of what's happening with this kid is me. So when the rubber meets the road with this kid, if it's time to cut bait, I'm going to be the one to find the next one. He really could have him cut like that. You never know.
You never know. Cosmic Channel says, be honest, y'all don't really believe in that Purdy. You want someone more dynamic to get the Niners over the top. I believe in him more than I did last year. I feel like in the Super Bowl, he was the second best player on their offense after Jennings. Jennings showed up. Jennings was really good. Purdy was definitely not bad. And a lot of players in the Niners offense were straight up bad.
Bad.
Bad. All and they should know it. And they should own it. Dazza says, trade Debo for O-line or tight end. Sure. I'm with it. Percy Robinson, Brandon is the future. Debo was for Jimmy because of Jimmy's limitations. Agree. Brock needs guys that can beat one-on-one coverage. We need to convert from a running team to a passing team. That's what I said. I agree. That's exactly what I said. Like, trust your quarterback. Debo is for a quarterback who can't hit a throw. You don't trust. Like, hey, man, just throw this little shovel pass. Can you do that, Jimmy? Can you throw a shovel pass without getting picked? That's sort of the Debo offense. But now it's like, no, can you get open 15 yards downfield? Because if you can, the ball will be waiting for you. But also you got to block it.
Yeah,
Michael Stedman says, did you see Ayuk to Jags mutual interest? No.
No.
No. Ayuk, Jaguars. Per 101X. Oh, wow.
What is saying?
I don't know. Niners Nation wrote about it. Let's read it. Let's see. Rumors are flying. It's tough to tell what's true and what's not in this day and age. When it comes to the Niners, hearing about them offering wide receiver Debo Samuel in a trade makes sense. Blah, 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 blah. Sorry, this is written by Kyle Posey. Shout out to Kyle. Okay. The rumor mill keeps churning, and the latest has Ayuk linked to the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Twitter, Instagram police have said Ayuk follows the Jaguars, Trevor Lawrence, and a couple other players. Whether that has always been the case or not is recent is another story. But according to Jaguars reporter Mia O'Brien, Ayuk's interest is mutual between Jaguars and his team. O'Brien acknowledged that the situation was early, but when a credible team reporter said it, there had to be some legs to the story. Jacksonville owns the 17th pick in the draft. Okay, thank you very much, Mia O'Brien and Kyle Posey of Niners Nation. Mia O'Brien is a Jacksonville Jaguars reporter. What do you think of this?
I do believe that Brandon Ayuk wants to be a featured member of an offense. I think that he sees his individual skill set as one. I think he sees himself as the number one receiver. He knows that it's hard to be a number one receiver when there's already a receiver here making damn near $30 million a year. But on the field, we all know that Brandon Ayuk is the purest receiver that we have on our offense. And he truly is the best receiver we have on our offense. As far as nobody on this team can run his route tree, hands down. All right. But money dictates what's happening right now. He's never going to be paid like a number one. And we've seen what they just did to keep Juwan. Debo's presumably not taking a pay cut or a restructuring. And right now, that's going to be a lot of money in our receiving room, right? And it just doesn't make sense to get that money dole that money out to him, especially when his floor would be $25 million a year, in my opinion. So right now, it just doesn't look like Brandon Ayuk is really faithful in the process. And he's starting to kind of stretch his legs a little bit. But this isn't new, right? There were talks of Brandon Ayuk being real cozy with the Las Vegas Raiders, being in the locker room with Jaden Daniels and the whole nine. So, I mean, this is all just like fodder. Like, it's really nothing. But as far as do I think BA is standing on business? Yes. Do I think that BA is going to take a pay cut? No. And the Niners, this could have a potential where they do come at an impasse where they decide to part ways. And, you know, it'll be unfortunate. Well,
I mean, if you look at the Jaguars, I mean, they're not trying to lead the league in rushing. They have a quarterback who can make every throw, mm-hmm. especially down the field. They don't have a number one receiver. They got Christian Kirk, Zay Jones, and Gabe Davis. They just lost Calvin Ridley. I mean, they could absolutely – I mean, it's a great spot for Brandon Ayuk, actually. And it's cool because it's Trent Baalke sticking it to his former team. I could absolutely see the Jaguars saying, let's offer Brandon Ayuk $27 million a year. And it's worth it for us because we'll give him 10 targets a game, 11 targets a game.
The guy.
And if that's what the Jaguars – if that's how they – if they'll trade their first-round pick and pay him all that money in a tax-free state – the Niners aren't going to get anywhere with Brandon Ayuk. And then they'd have to figure out, like, do you want to just keep him here, have him play on the fifth-year option, and then watch him walk next year and get a third-round comp pick for him, or trade him now and get that 17th pick? It's interesting, too, that there's mutual interest. Does that imply that Ayuk and his camp are actively looking for places to go other than the Niners?
Yeah,
that definitely. Mean?
Yeah,
does,
I would, I would assume that to be true. I mean, yeah. When right after the game, his family all but said so. His girlfriend, his sister came out. His brother was like, "Yo, we done. Like, it's been real."
Yeah, the way they're framing it is kind of like we don't want to be here. Kind of like Eric Armstead. Like, you know, it's not me. It's you.
It's you.
It's yeah. you. I don't want to be on this.
I don't want to be here. Yeah, I'm not asking to stay.
I wanted to go to Cabo. I like tacos. You didn't invite me.
Cabo's nice. I heard it's nice this time of year.
Yeah, I mean, you never asked me if I wanted to come. You never gave me the opportunity. So I'm out.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, they've done a really good job of pushing the frat boy narrative, like at this being like a really big fraternity of a team. But when the rubber meets the road, when it's time to get paid, and especially for how this team is rolled out, like you can't keep losing these tough losses before somebody starts chirping. Like, all right, man, I've been doing this for 2-3 years. I've held my tongue. Like, I'm not about to be the odd man out when it's time for people to get paid. Like, I did my part. Now pay me, right? So it's going to be interesting.
Really know Brandon Ayuk that well. He's kind of quiet. And we don't really know what his motivations are. We don't know what his ego is, and not in a negative way. This is a first-round pick who feels clearly that he's been marginalized, all of it. So maybe, I mean, he's about to get paid a lot of money. Maybe this is his moment to say, you know what, Kyle? You never were that nice to me, man. You put me in the doghouse for no reason. You made me seem unprofessional. You never explained it. You sort of implied that I wasn't practicing hard when I've seen him practice. He practices really hard, coach. I could see Brandon being like, you know what? I was really quiet and deferential for years. Not anymore. I want to go to the highest bidder. And there's nothing wrong with that. And that could be Jacksonville.
Yeah. And then, you know, what just sucks is like, it's like the equity, man. Like, that kid knows how to block. He plays to the echo of the whistle. He's tough. He runs every route. Like, pay him, man. Like, it'd be a shame to lose a guy that we built from the ground up. It'd be a shame.
Well, my question after they lost that game, the Super Bowl, was, has Kyle Shanahan lost this locker room? And there's no way to know. And it's not like he's going to lose the whole thing at once. But it's possible that he lost the trust or the confidence, that's the word, of certain players. And I wonder if Armstead's one of them. I wonder if Ayuk is one of them. I mean, Ayuk probably feels that he could have taken over that game if he had the opportunity and that Kyle chose to go to Debo instead. Don't know. But these could all be certain.
I mean, if you look at the, I mean, and I, receivers
one
are
more
like
thing,
this,
real
man.
Quick. One more thing real quick. When I was at the Super Bowl and I asked Debo, Trent Williams, Nick Bosa and Brandon Ayuk, what was unique about their relationship with Kyle? Everyone but Ayuk said, oh, that's my friend. We have this really like friendship and it'll carry on beyond the team. Ayuk always, all he said was, it's different. It's different. He said, that's my dog though, but it's different.
But it's different. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I see you. I see you. I know, man, that's exactly what it is. It's like, I see, I like, we got our issues.
Yep.
I've seen the ugly side of him. He's seen the ugly side of me. Mm-hmm. I still choose to rock with you though.
Yeah.
But like, I'm not disillusioned on what this is. Right. Yeah. Like I get this relationship. I know what this is. So
like Debo literally said, like, I'll be able to call him the rest of my life and we'll be able to talk about anything. He said that. Yeah. I said it's different.
He changed my life. Just think about it that way. Like from Debo's perspective, it's like, dude, you changed my life.
Yeah.
You changed.
You had a vision for me and you turned me into this unique, special all pro player. From Ayuk's perspective, man, you've only held me back.
You've done everything that you wanted. Back.
Watch the tape. I'm always open. The ball doesn't go to me. You don't call plays for me.
And then I think really, you know, it's kind of like, it can really annoy you when you feel like you're about to get gaslit, where it's like, here I am about to go into my contract year. We get to the Super Bowl and you give the dude that's due to make $30 million, 11 targets.
Mm-hmm.
You're forcing it, bro.
Yeah. You're justifying that price tag.
Yeah.
And trying to reduce mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know that I'm coming to the table in less than 6 months. I'm coming to your ass in 3 months. All right. Yeah. And we get to the biggest game of the season and you already got him under contract for 30. Yeah. And you mean to tell me that you don't at least give me the chance to showcase my skill set to other teams for me to get up out of here? And you think that I'm going to come and not see the dirty pool on Kyle, you're the most curated guy. This is where talking to your players. Real
quick, you're going
to
use his stats in the Super Bowl against him at the negotiating. Well, course. You only have 40 yards. You only have 40 yards.
Like, this is where talking to your players, like their coaches, comes back to bite you.
Yeah.
Because when you go and you start talking about the game plan on who gets what is done, that's not for the players to know. All right? Mm-hmm. How many targets and how they're going to be singled out for the day is really none of their business. Because shit changes and you don't want to set expectations. Right?
Yeah.
But when you're a guy like Kyle that starts your games that way, and you target a guy 11 times to 14 times in a game, that's heavy-handed, bro.
Yep.
You set those things up. And it shows that you died with this. You died on this hill. Like, at what target did Kyle start saying to himself, all right, maybe it's time to start throwing BA?
Also, you saw that the Chiefs were using man-to-man coverage. Your counter was to go to Debo. So my question is, do you either not know ball, or did you have an agenda? You know ball. You know that your man coverage guy is Ayuk. He gets open against tight man coverage. Debo doesn't. You scheme him open. So why'd you go to Debo? You're not stupid. You know ball. So what was the agenda? I don't know. Mike McCann, you can release a player with the June 1st designation. Can you trade a player with a post-June 1st designation to avoid the dead cap and land a pick in 24? I got this question last night with Jesse. Neither of us know. It's my job. I should look it up. My guess is yes. But I don't know.
I don't know.
Jeremy Price. What up, G? What up, Jeremy? It's 2024. We just lost the Super Bowl again. Jimmy is irrelevant. Let's talk Kyle.
Okay.
We've been. Khalil Kemp. Can't wait for Brad Graham and all these other pathetic fan accounts to post their thank you, Brandon images. LOL, Cabo, click, run this. You guys are instigators. I don't even know Brad like that. Now he hates me. I don't even know Brad.
They just be trying to get us to respond, bro. Not taking that bait, bro.
I think they just like it when we beef. We should just have like contrived beefs like it's WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Just I have like all of a sudden I'm streaming one day and you just have like Jesse run in, hit me with a folding chair. Like, oh my God, out of nowhere. Oh, it's vicious. That's against the rules.
No, we need to set up like one day. I just need to get up out of the camera frame and come into your camera frame and just hit you with a chair. Yo, that would freak people out. Like, wait a minute, they're in the same room. Goddamn right, Grant Cole. I'll see you tonight and get to the ring.
It's the next generation. Charlie Sinclair says Bosa stays in LA. Cool. Good. Katrina Allen says Kyle has lost the locker room. I will be surprised if we make the playoffs. The window is closed. Sick of Kyle. egomaniac. Ooh. Well, I'm a journalist. I can't assert that without evidence, but I'll be on the lookout. I could see why you would think that, Katrina. I could see why you would think that, Katrina. Guys, I got to go write an article about the Jaguars and Brandon Ayuk. This is wild. Wild stuff. Trent Baalke, just when you thought he was gone, coming back to bite the Niners. Coach, great stuff today as always.
Thank you, brother.
For the people in the chat, we've got 1,800 people watching. If you haven't subscribed to the Coach's channel, the link is in the description. Also, sign up for the Sleeper app. Use promo code CONE, C-O-H-N. Get entered to win a signed Brandon Ayuk jersey. He could get traded tomorrow. You might want this. It's going to be a collector's item, potentially. Wait, hold on at the buzzer. Jeff, can one of you pretend to be Kyle for a minute, look me dead in the eye, and explain why there is no focus on offense or the O-line this offseason?
You know, they're trying to – go ahead. You do it, Grant. Go.
No, you do it.
No, because I did it. I already did a Kyle impression on Jesse's show, bro. You go.
Here's how he would do it. He would go, why should I focus on the offense? Why? No, you tell me. Is the offensive line a problem? He would just disagree with all of your premises. Our offensive line was third in the league in passing. Our offense was ranked really high. We had a couple bad games, a couple bad plays. Got to be better on third down.
Yeah. I see absolutely no problem with the offense whatsoever. If you really think about it, it's really your issue, honestly. And
who do you want to move on the offensive line? Who do you not like?
Who would you suggest?
Yeah, who would you suggest? We like we like Jake Brendel.
I mean, they just don't value the position in a traditional way, man. They don't.
No.
So it's okay. You know, but I would be very surprised if they prioritize it in this year's draft. But by hook or crook, I think that it may actually kind of fall in their favor because of the depth. I really do. Yep. I believe that there's a lot of good depth in the offensive line this year.
Well, look, I mean, considering they went just defense in the draft, seems like they're setting themselves up to go offense heavy. I mean, they went just defense in free agency. They're setting themselves up to go offense heavy in the draft. That would balance things out at least. Here's to that. Coach, good stuff. See you guys when you least expect it. Things keep happening and I keep streaming. So I'll be back.